Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima.
Sam Monson joins us on the show from Pro Football Focus. Sam, good morning.
Morning. How's it going?
Oh, it's not going too terribly bad for us. There's comparisons between Jadeveon Clowney and Olivier Vernon. If you were the Cleveland Browns right now, who would you rather have?
I think if you were starting from scratch, you'd take Jadeveon Clowney. I think he's been better over the past couple of seasons. Clowney's issue is not a lack of talent. He's a really good player. He may never have become the player that people thought he would when he was drafted. You know, one of the most incredible sort of physical freak players to come along for years, and he's never developed into that elite, the best of the best level of pass rusher. But he's really good. He's one of the best run-defending edge rushers in the NFL. He has games that he can take over against weaker tackles, which is valuable. And he has those sort of splash plays every now and again that are really dominant. So, you know, all things being equal, I think you would lean on Clowney. But obviously they already have Olivier Vernon in the building.
All right, Sam, the thing about Vernon that I don't understand, like, we understand that he was unavailable at all times. It's been a couple of years in a row that's been the case for him. But Clowney, that's been an issue as well. Plus, sometimes we talk about his motor, and he's just not there play to play. Do you think that accessibility is going to play into this when both guys have been a little hampered?
Yeah, it could. I mean, Vernon, as you say, missed a decent chunk of time this past season, missed some time the season before. He's definitely, I think, reaching the point where it's got to be concerning for a team how much you're going to get him on the field, particularly because he was really heavily used earlier in his career when he first got that starting gig. You know, he was threatening 1,000 snaps for sort of 3 out of 4 seasons, and that, like, 1,000-snap barrier is a really big one for defenders. Like, Clowney is never really been in that kind of ballpark. 2018 was the closest he got. He played just over 900 snaps that year. So yeah, I think in particular with Vernon, I think they've got to be looking at him and being concerned about how often they're going to play him. Clowney, I think it's less of a concern. Obviously he missed time this past season, but before that he has been much more regularly there over the past few years than Vernon. So I think if you were looking at it purely as a which guy has more durability question marks, you would say Vernon is more of an issue.
Is there a reason, Sam, that the Browns can't simply have both, considering they have the most cap space in the NFL, and Vernon, most of his money is coming off the cap after next year anyway?
No, I guess it depends on what Clowney's price tag ends up being. You know, I think the reason he's still unsigned is because from the outset of this free agency period, he wanted this market-resetting, market-defining contract that makes him, you know, the best paid edge rusher in the NFL. And ultimately, he just isn't that good. He's a really good edge rusher, but he's not up there with the very best edge rushers in the NFL, the Von Millers, the Khalil Macks, you know, even guys like T.J. Watt now are starting to overtake. Myles Garrett, he's not in that category. So if that's the kind of contract he wants, it stands to reason that, you know, nobody's giving it to him yet, and that's why he remains unsigned. So it sort of depends what the money is. If they can get a deal done at a level that's much more reasonable, you're right, they have cap space, they've got question marks in terms of Vernon's durability, they can get them all on the field and make use of them. It just comes down to whether Clowney will sign for that kind of contract.
Sam Monson joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We have a tough time talking about this because Diana Russini got a message, I should say, from a NFL head coach in the AFC North, and that head coach said, hey, Baker's more talented than Kirk Cousins. Kevin Stefanski and Baker Mayfield should work really well together. And we kind of went, how do you define talent? Because Kirk Cousins has been a very effective quarterback at times. Baker Mayfield was effective in 2018, not so much 2019. You guys try to bring down everything to the math, the hard facts, the numbers. How do you equate something that we call talent? What is your definition of talent, Sam?
Yeah, it's hard. I don't know if there's a good answer to that, to be honest. I think talent is just this catch-all term for, you know, everything that goes into being a quarterback. We, you know, arm talent is one part of that, just the sheer strength of a guy's arm, what kind of throws he can make. I think Baker certainly has a stronger arm than Kirk Cousins. But everything else goes into being a quarterback as well. Mental makeup, processing, accuracy, all these other things. It's all talent. You know, it's all the ability to play the position at an extremely high level. Ultimately, there's more proof that Cousins has been able to do that. Now, he's been able to do that within the offense that Baker hasn't had a chance to play in yet. So that will be a big leveling factor, I guess, in this year and beyond. But look, I don't think Baker's talent has ever been in question. You know, PFF from the outset was saying he should be the number one overall pick that year. He was by far the best quarterback prospect when you looked at all the evidence we had in terms of his college tape. And things completely went off the rail last season. You know, the entire offense in Cleveland went in the tank. People got fired at the end of it. It was a complete disaster. There's no reason Baker Mayfield can't have a Kirk Cousins-like season. And, you know, that offense does have a proven track record of getting excellent career years out of quarterbacks. It is a very quarterback-friendly system. Everything that wasn't there last year in terms of helping Mayfield out has been put in place over the course of this offseason in terms of a new scheme, in terms of different personnel groupings that should work better. So I think the idea that he should have a much better season this year than he did a year ago is a good one. It makes a lot of sense. But Cousins played really well last year. So to get better than that, like that is that's an ambitious target to be chasing.
Sam Monson joining us on the show. So you like it because some people here, they hear Kirk Cousins and they go, like they don't want the number one overall pick to be Kirk Cousins. Can you forecast yet where you see Baker Mayfield in his career in terms of elite, franchise quarterback, journeyman, bust? Do you have any sort of forecast for that yet, or is it still too early?
Yeah, I mean, you're right. Cousins, I think he has a bad reputation in terms of nobody wants their franchise quarterback to look like Kirk Cousins. But Cousins was like the number five graded quarterback at PFF last season. He was genuinely excellent, and the production was there, passer rating was there, all the conventional box score numbers were there as well. It's just that Cousins is missing just that little bit of something that, you know, guys like Mahomes or Deshaun Watson or Russell Wilson, he's missing that little bit of like consistent clutch, and the ability to deliver when it really matters is never quite there with Cousins. And every now and again, you're going to get one of these just absurd bonehead decisions that he makes. So I think he sort of warps his own perception or the perception of him because of those bad plays. If you got a guy like Baker Mayfield who played at that level and didn't have those, you know, catastrophic mental lapses every now and again that Cousins has, I think that would be a good result for a number one overall pick. And it would make him like a top five quarterback, which is ultimately where you want to get him. I think, like I say, the talent is all there. The ability to do it all is there. We've seen in his college career and a little bit as a rookie, he's got the ability to be clutch and to come back and to make big plays. It's really just a case of how much he can reverse what happened a year ago, because, you know, what happened in 2019 was really, really concerning. The things that he started to do badly in terms of, you know, running away from clean pockets, sort of feeling phantom pressure that wasn't really there, that's the kind of thing that has broken good quarterbacks in the past. You know, obviously, a guy like David Carr just got broken by the sheer weight of pressure. But guys like Mark Bulger, you know, way back with the St. Louis Rams, Bulger was good enough that the Rams said goodbye to Hall of Famer Kurt Warner, and it was justifiable. Bulger was playing really well, and then ultimately the line fell to pieces. He started to get battered by the pressure and then started to feel that phantom pressure, and he never recovered from that. That kind of ruined his career. So they really need to get that turned around. Otherwise, you could definitely ruin a quarterback like Baker Mayfield.
You know, we hear a lot about Stefanski and 12 personnel, really a disciple of the Shanahan Kubiak coaching tree, which is fine. That seems to me to be an offense that, yes, will make things easier for Baker Mayfield. But that doesn't necessarily seem like an offense for a number one overall draft pick and a guy that we thought had a year ago the talent to be an elite quarterback. Are they caging? Are they doing this to cage Baker Mayfield? Are they doing this to help transition him from the nightmare we saw last year? Because when he was running and gunning and throwing the ball down the field and launching these deep balls 2 years ago, it was successful. And that doesn't seem to be the offense he's going to be playing in this year.
It's not, but that's the offense that Kevin Stefanski runs. So I don't think it's a case of they've, you know, designed an offense to limit what they ask of Baker Mayfield. I think they just brought in a coach that they know has a track record for maximizing the talent of his quarterbacks, and that's the offense he runs. So, look, you can never entirely extricate a quarterback from the offense around him. And Patrick Mahomes, I think, is undeniably the most talented quarterback in the NFL. He also has one of the most beneficial quarterback situations in all the NFL. He's got one of the best receiving cores in the league who are consistently wide open. He's working for one of the best offensive minds in the game in Andy Reid. They generate him a ton of free yardage in terms of, you know, easy shovel passes, in terms of a lot of underneath stuff that's schemed wide open. So very few quarterbacks have, you know, an easier job than Patrick Mahomes does, but his talent adds a ton of value on top of that. And I don't think there's any reason the same thing can't be true with Mayfield in this offense, albeit a different style of offense. Like, he can maximize what this offense does for him, and if he gets back on track, his ability to sling the ball down the field and to be a gunslinger can add value on top of the offense. But I don't think there's anything wrong generally with a quarterback playing within the structure of his offense most of the time. I don't think that necessarily equals a guy being, you know, held back by the system.
Sam, I got like 30 seconds. You actually agree with me on 4th and 15? You thought that 4th and 15 should have been put in instead of onside kicks?
Yeah, absolutely. I think 4th and 15 should have been put in, and I think the sky judge thing should have been put in as well. Those are two absolute slam dunk proposals that have come out of those defunct leagues, the AAF and the XFL, and the NFL just doesn't embrace them. Like, go with the change.
I couldn't agree with you more, Sam.
You don't think it's a little too gimmicky that having multiple possessions back-to-back, which I didn't like the onside kick either. I just think football is best when it's you get the ball, I get the ball. You get the ball, I get the ball. Why are we finding a way to give teams the ball consecutive possessions when you can't really score on defense?
Right. I mean, at the point the onside kick is a thing, gimmicking is long gone out the window. Like, it's already there. Let's just make it better.
Thank you. Sam, we thank you for the time, and I thank you for agreeing with me on multiple points. All the best to you, and we'll talk to you again soon. Sam Monson joining us. You too. Sam Monson joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Follow him on Twitter at @PFF_Sam. 940, the best QB ranking I think I've ever seen. Lima brought it to my attention, and most popular guy in Cleveland. There's a baseball player that's way low on that list. According to you, it's Ken Carmen with Anthony Lima, Live on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.